بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, I was doing this webinar yesterday on an attitude of gratitude. And among the questions, one of the questions was, how do we deal with the anxiety that we all feel during this lockdown? Now, that's a very good question, and it's a question that I'm sure it strikes a chord in the hearts of a lot of people. My question to the question is, what is the anxiety about? Because if we can pinpoint what the anxiety is about, then we can answer the question, what to do about the anxiety. So let's see, what is the anxiety? One anxiety could be about COVID-19 itself. To say what is the likelihood of my getting it or any of my family members who are in my house, what is the likelihood of one of them getting it? That's a very real question, and you might be anxious about that. Another question might be, what will the world after this whole lockout and stuff is over, when the world resumes, and please notice I'm not using the term goes back to normal, I'm saying resumes. Then how will that world look like? What will be different? What will that represent for me? I think these are the two main points of anxiety that most people might feel. And if anyone has anything else, do feel free to send your question to me in the on the WhatsApp thing group and or on the Google group, wherever you are getting this from. The answer to the first one, what is the likelihood of my getting this infection or not? And the answer to the second one lies in one very fundamental part of our belief, and that is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The concept of qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Muslim concept of qadr, is a beautiful concept which takes into account two things. One, that which has been written for you, which is not changeable. And the second one, that which has been left in your control, which you have the right and you have the power to change and to write and to rewrite as you wish. These two come together in the Islamic understanding of qadr, of destiny. In Islam, we do not believe in destiny as something which covers every aspect of our life and we have no choice whatsoever. We do not believe this. This is not the Islamic concept of destiny. Neither is it the Islamic concept of destiny that nothing is written, everything is up in the air, and I write my own destiny. This also is not the Islamic concept of destiny. Islamic concept of destiny is the actual reality with regard to destiny, which is a combination of these two things. There are things which are written which cannot be changed, while there are other things which are left to our choice. And in those places where things have been left to our choice, we have been given guidance. We have been given guidance as to what are the good choices to make. And this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we could have been left to our own devices. We could have been given the choices and left to our own devices to pick and choose as we understood them, as we wished, and then face the consequences. And at that time, you would not be wrong in saying, oh my God, I wish I had been forewarned. I wish I knew. I wouldn't have made this choice had I but known. Now, the beauty is that in Islam, you and I will not be able to say that, because we have been given the guidance. Now, let me illustrate. Right? Let me illustrate what I mean. The combination of that which is written and that which is in which you have a choice. If you have diabetes, it is written for you that if you take too much of sugar and too much of carbohydrates, then this will harm you. Right? This will harm you. It can potentially be lethal. You can actually die of that. But even if you don't die straight away, it will be harmful for you. This is written. However, what you have choice in is what you will eat. So now you go and there's this fantastic buffet spread, and in that buffet spread there are these absolutely fabulous things to eat. And of course, in our world and our cuisine, fabulous to eat, delicious, almost automatically means that it has carbs and sugar. Not always. There are keto stuff, things and so on and so forth, which are also very nice. But usually, if you go to a, you know, if you go to a buffet spread, carbs and sugar. Now, your choice is, will you still eat it, even though you have the guidance to know that if you eat it, it's going to harm you. Now, if you do eat it, is somebody going to hold your hand? Is your hand going to be struck by paralysis as it comes close to your mouth? Is your mouth going to be sealed and it doesn't open? None of this will happen. You will be able to eat all that sweet stuff and all those delicious carbs without any problem whatsoever. You will be able to eat them until they are all the way up to your throat, and then you will pay for that. Let me give you another example. Say, for example, I live in a place like, for example, where I live in Hyderabad. If I come out of my gate and I take a left turn, it takes me to road number 7 on Banjara Hills. I live on road number 9, so that this takes me, a left turn takes me to road number 7. If I take a right turn, it takes me to road number 10. Now, when I am at my gate, do I have a choice whether I want to turn left or right? Of course. I can turn left, I can turn right. But if I turn left and I find myself on road number 7 and I say to myself, why am I here? I wanted to go to road number 10. What must I do? I must make a U-turn. I must make a U-turn, go straight down, and I will be on road number 10. Now, the same thing applies as far as destiny is concerned. So, with regard to the anxiety with in connection with COVID-19, the same thing applies, which is, what is destiny? Destiny is whether you or I have been destined to get this infection or not. What is in my control is my own behavior. Now, what's my behavior? My behavior is that I stay at home, I take precautions, I wash my hands the way it has been demonstrated, I wear a mask if I go out anywhere, and that going out I do only and only if it is absolutely critical. I don't go out unless it is absolutely critical. I just don't go out just like that for fun. I make sure that I maintain social distance, I do not come into close contact with anybody. I do not congregate. I don't go to any gatherings. All of these are precautions that I know about and that I can take. And inshallah, if I do that, then the chances are that I will not be affected by COVID-19. Right? However, you might say, well, you know, despite all this, can I still get it? The answer is yes. If that is your destiny, that is your destiny. Because the way we die has been written for us. Where and when and with what. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us chances and choices. That's the reason why I gave you the example of this turning right and turning left. If I turn left, road number 7 is written for me. If I turn right, road number 10 is written for me. So, in the case of this COVID-19 and so on and so forth, if I take all the precautions that I can take, then it is most likely that being saved from this has been written for me. And if I don't take these precautions, then it's most likely that contracting the infection has been written for me. Now, can I say that with absolute certainty? Of course I can't. But this is my understanding. And that's the reason why we have been given limited choice and we have been given guidance about what to do with regard to that limited choice. The same thing applies to what will happen to me when the world resumes. Once again, it depends on what I do with myself. Not just what I do with myself during the lockdown, but what I have been doing myself until now, which means that I also need to take lessons about what I want to do going forward in terms of my own life. I mean about self-development, I mean about learning, I mean about acquiring new skills, I mean what I want to do with regard to my career choices, with regard to developing my competence in new areas, with regard to developing my circle of influence, which depends, of course, on my social skills, which depends on my genuine sincerity in helping people, in my good manners, which we completely and totally ignore. All of these are interlinked, and all of these will decide what happens to me in the post-COVID world, because I will have to enter a new phase of my life. Where I might find myself without a job, I need a new job. What is that new job? Because jobs, the way jobs used to be, is not how they will be. They will be different. And am I prepared for that difference? Am I anticipating that? Have I anticipated that? Am I preparing myself for that? Have I been preparing myself? That's the reason I'm saying it doesn't depend only on this lockout period. Because after all, I mean, if you're saying you want to learn a new skill, you want to learn to read, you should have read. Well, you know, really, this is something that the lockdown period, I think, can equip us to some extent. But more than anything else, I think the biggest value of the lockdown period is that it brings us very starkly face to face with what we have been doing to ourselves. We have been squandering our lives. We have been wasting our time. We have been wasting our lives. We have been living lives which are very destructive. If you ask yourself and say, in the last 6 months, what new skill did I learn? In the last 1 year, what new skill did I learn? In the last 1 year, how did I change the way I interact with the world? What contribution have I made? What's my circle of influence? To what extent has it grown? Has it changed? I don't know how many people can have answers to these questions, right? All of these questions are questions which will become suddenly relevant now in this world. One of the simplest things to, one of the simplest ways to check, to see whether how you are doing, right? And what is your circle of influence is to ask a very simple question. That is, in this lockdown period, are you giving webinars or are you attending webinars? And if you are not doing either of them, that has a different story to tell altogether. But this alone, if you are one of those who is being asked questions to say, can you please answer this? Can you do a webinar on this? People would like to understand and so on. But then you probably are in a good place, because it means that your skills are still relevant and valid. Your experience has got value. You've got brand, you've got, depends on all this. But whereas if you are only attending webinars, then of course that itself is also a good sign to say that you have at least now woken up and you are now, going to try to, earn something beneficial for yourself. You try to learn something new. But if you are among those who are doing neither of these, right? And webinars, I'm just giving you as an example. Webinars is not the be all and end all of things. You might say, well, I'm not giving webinars, but I'm reading. I'm doing a lot of beneficial reading. All power to you. We use this term, wake up. You say, please wake up. Please understand, waking up alone doesn't make any difference. You need to wake up and get out of bed. You need to wake up and get out of bed. You need to make your bed. You need to go have a shower. You need to change your clothes. You need to put on your shoes and go and do some work. All only at the end of that will there be a result. People say a lot about the Muslim Ummah. We are sleeping. We need to wake up. No. We are awake. We are still lying in bed. Our problem is not that we are not awake. We are awake. But we are still lying in bed. We need to get out of bed. That is the key thing. So, the question of anxiety, as I said, depends on if you are doing what you have been told. If you are doing what you should be doing. And if you are doing what you should be doing, then there should be no anxiety, because you know that you are fulfilling the requirements for a good destiny, number one. Number two, and that your destiny has been written to you, for you, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who loves you more than you can imagine, and He only wants the best for you, and He has guided you, He has shown you what to do. And this guidance you got through His Habib, His last and final messenger, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you follow that, then really you can't go wrong. And if you don't follow that, then that is a choice that you have made. I hope I've answered the anxiety question, and I hope your anxiety, inshallah, will disappear, provided you do what I have suggested that you should do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to act on knowledge in a way that it benefits us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.